I'm joined by Ian Black once again from Doha. Ian, how's the speech of Khatib gone down?
Well, of course, it was very eagerly awaited, very much as the drama of this Arab summit in Doha. And it was an impressive speech in several ways, but what it didn't do was lay out any specifics, either on the burning question of his own political position after his resignation, or on anything new that would help find a way out of the Syrian crisis. But there were some significant elements in what was, I think, widely agreed, a very statesmanlike and dignified appearance. In Arabic, it has to be said, Khatib is a fine speaker. He's, of course, in his one of his old day jobs, he was the imam of the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus. That's the one of the most famous mosques in the entire Muslim world, and he's clearly practiced at the arts of eloquence. That came across. He was introduced very formally by the Emir of Qatar. It's important to emphasize the symbolism of this. He was there representing Syria, no longer Bashar al-Assad. That's a powerful point to be made by the Arab League, the regional organization of all Arab states. First of all, the elements of what he said focused very much on the suffering of the Syrian people. He talked about ordinary people having their bakeries bombed by fighter jets, their sacrifices. And he linked that cleverly, I think, to what was his principal, a broad political message, which was that the Syrian people will determine and must determine their own fate. That's a lightly coded way of addressing the issues which led to his resignation, the sense that other people, whether Arab governments or the inaction of Western governments or the meddling of outsiders, and he mentioned Iran, Russia, Hezbollah, was contributing to prolonging the tragedy and the bloodshed that Syria was experiencing. He thanked many of the Arab countries which do support Syria, and conspicuous by their absence was those which don't. The Syrian opposition, that is. He didn't mention Iraq or Algeria, which were opposed to the Syrian opposition being given the seat of the Syrian government at the summit. So he gave some other important pointers as well. He talked about sectarianism.
He also asked for he asked the US for Patriot missiles and called on NATO to defend northern areas, but at the same time reiterated that he wants a diplomatic solution. He seems to want it both ways.
Well, I think what he was doing was building up a case for saying, look, you know, the Syrian people are suffering at the hands of a ruthless leader who doesn't hesitate to kill his own people. He'd asked for help. He suggested, incidentally, I thought, quite a heavy hint that the issue of chemical weapons, which we hear so much about amongst the concerns of outside forces, was perhaps something of an excuse. He said that in a future Syria, such weapon would be banned under international convention, you know, suggesting that in the future things could be very different and Syria would no longer be the sort of semi-pariah that it's sometimes seen as. He had some other interesting messages too. He talked about fighters who'd come to support the Syrian revolution, and he said that they should go home to their mothers and families, and that would be the right thing to do. So an interesting rejection there of those, you know, foreign fighters waging what some of them call jihad in support of the Syrian people. It really was this central plea for the Syrian people to be left alone to fight their own battle, but above all to determine their own future. There was an anti-sectarian sectarian message too. It's important. Masrur Khatib is a Sunni imam, represents the majority of Syrians in a confessional sense. He talked about our Alawite brothers. The Alawites, of course, are the minority sect from which the Assad family and many pillars of the regime come. He mentioned, he singled out Iran and Hezbollah to intervene in the crisis. So there were some important messages there. There was a Quranic quotation, again, supporting freedom of religion, an important issue at a time when people are concerned about the extremists dominating the anti-Assad revolution. He came across as the voice of moderation, of good sense, of dignity, in this very statesman.
At the end of the speech,
it doesn't do anything to change the specifics.
Ian, at the end of the speech, he paid tribute to Ghassan Hito, the Texas-based executive who's been chosen as a prime minister, but he's been reported to be annoyed at that move. Does this mean that he will represent the Syrian opposition as leader?
Well, we don't have a definitive answer to that. It was striking that he did express support for Ghassan Hito. What people are saying in the Syrian opposition is that Khatib has nothing personally against the choice of this little-known figure. He'd lived, as you say, in Texas for a long time. He's of Kurdish origin. He's said to be supported certainly by the Qataris and the Muslim Brotherhood. But I think what Khatib was complaining about, and this is a constant theme in what is said both privately and publicly, is the way in which decisions are reached, things being presented as fait accompli by outside parties and not subject to the decision-making of what is, after all, I think, the most representative body of Syrian opposition opinion in the form of the National Coalition. You have the impression, certainly from looking at Khatib in Doha here today, that he has no intention of abandoning the leadership role that he has, whether or not he returns to the job that he officially, at least, resigned from on Sunday. But he certainly put in an impressive performance today, and it's hard to see him disappearing from the scene with his ability to make a significant contribution to the voice of the Syrian people at this very difficult time.
Okay, thanks very much.